Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hi, everybody. It's Mike Catherwood, and I wish I was coming to you with better circumstances, but I'm coming to you to say that, you know, most of you know we lost Bob Saget, and Bob was a tremendous human being. He really was one of the nicest guys, and you hear tons of celebrities and comics that are saying the same thing because he genuinely was such a great guy who loved life, and he was so personable and engaging, and he just really was a positive force to be around. And Kevin and I both were lucky enough to have a relationship with Bob. Kevin, much, much closer with him than I was. I had a mostly professional relationship with him, but he and I always got along, and I just genuinely loved when I had the chance to be around Bob Saget. But Kevin actually had a real tight friendship with him outside of the professional world. They had a personal relationship. So everyone's taking this hard, and Kevin is understandably taking this pretty hard. Well, we did a episode of Great News with Bob as the guest a little over a year ago. And so we thought for today's episode, we would replace the new one with a rerun of that episode with a little piece about Bob in the front. And he was a great guy. Rest in peace. Thanks.
You are now about to witness the strength of Bob Saget.
I just got divorced. Ex-wife got the house in the Palisades. No biggie. I got four other houses. I don't give a shit. And here I get to say words like ass, wiener, and nipples.
How do you know if you're a bonehead, you might ask? Well, you're watching this show, aren't you?
My gift is my problem, which is I have no filter. I have no censor whatsoever.
And I know this is going to be a hit show because I'm on it.
Who do you think's more recognizable, you or me? Seriously.
From this position, she could kiss your neck, caress your gallant chest while you run your fingers through her raven hair.
Am I the raddest, baddest dad a kid ever had?
You took me from 0 to 90. No, you took me from
0 to 60. 60.
Hey, I'm going to hiccup a while. Don't make fun of it.
How about you come and move in with us and help me raise my daughters?
I was concerned because it's hard to make fun of my friends and the people I love, but luckily none of them are here.
I can open up a whole new world for you.
On that note of love and respect, you keep those cameras safely rolling.
Kevin and Mike are here to give you great news.
Nice. Hey, and welcome to another episode of Great News with Kevin Ryder and Mike Catherwood.
Today's a very special episode, Kevin. Intro! The show's about to begin, bro! Yeah. So say hello to the happy, goodbye to the blues, because Kevin and Mike and Bob are here to give you great news!
We have a guest!
Boom.
I'm here.
Hit the music.
Intro music. Go. Bob Dole, everybody. Bob Barker, everyone. Bob Balaban.
Bob Saget.
You are now about to witness the strength of Bob Saget.
It's great news that this is working. Am I right? How you been, Bob?
I'm really good. I'm in quarantine with my wife, Kelly. She's as far away from me as she could possibly be.
Don't blame her.
No, I mean, who would want to be near me all the time when we're binging on things and I'm working. I finished a script, not reading one, but I wrote one and I'm just doing my podcast all the time. So welcome. This is exciting that you guys are doing this. I mean, I
want to ask you about your podcast. It is supposedly the number one podcast by a comedian ever.
Yeah, that's what we put on there in laurels like Cannes Film Festival as a joke. Because if you look at the rankings, it is not.
Bob Saget's here for you. I'm actually glad you're doing a podcast because you're obviously a very funny guy. You're a very talented guy, but you're someone who's good at conversation. And
I'm sorry, I'm good at what? No, I'm just kidding.
Because a lot of comics tend not to be. You know, I feel like there's a divide between being a.
There's a lot of comics who can only work into their stand-up. They can't actually have a conversation with you.
Which is fine. I mean, you know, they're valuable in their own way, but some people just don't enjoy riffing. I love performing of any kind. That's why I do a lot of adult films. You know, on 8mm, I kept the projector. But no,
because you're a purist.
I really am. I want to go back to old school. I like grain. But when I wake up in the morning, I'm pretty positive once I wake up, you know, around 4 or 5 p.m. But sure. I'm looking to entertain people, I can't tour, can't film anything right now. I was offered some movie to do, and it's not safe right now. So I've done a couple TV shows. I have done that. I did, what is it? I Can See Your Voice with Ken Jeong and Masked Singer. I was in that mascot outfit singing. so that's how badly I wanted to do anything. That 4 years, I said, thank you for inviting me. I love you all at Masked Singer. I love Ken and Robin Thicke, but I can't. And then this time during quarantine, it's like the 4 months ago, and they said, you want to be on Masked Singer? I said, yes.
Well, I mean, you get to wear a mask. It does seem built right in.
Well, I was squiggly monster. That's it. And right there, that's a squiggly monster. It was I did two songs and I was really good. I wanted to keep going. I didn't really realize it was a competition.
Well, I've talked to two people who have done the show, Dr. Drew and Tommy Chong.
Right.
And both of them said it was a ton of fun. They really enjoyed it.
It was. And I think they did it pre-COVID. So I did it during Danger Zone. And that's when, it was, I didn't see anybody. And I had a jacket on that says, don't talk to me. And I had a hood and I had a visor and a mask, and it was, and I did not get sick. And they had never shut down the production because they knew how to do it. But when Mickey Rourke did it, it was the only time where he took off the mask and then everyone screamed.
Well, Bob, we do, this podcast is called Great News with Kevin and Mike. And we like to bring stories that are positive.
Right.
We were just talking about COVID, and you mentioned that you're going to get your vaccine shot soon, right?
Yes, and I'm not cutting line. I'm doing it like a good American patriot, but I'm going to be 65 in a couple months, and that allows me to get it. So I'm asking for it.
65.
It's weird, isn't it? How can that be?
You look good, man. I was telling you that before we went on. You do look fantastic.
Thank you. I lotion everything but my face.
Well, look, here's my first story involves getting the vaccine. And okay. In Oregon, healthcare workers were stranded in a snowstorm in their cars. And they had 6 doses that would run out if they didn't give them to people.
Oh, they were stranded in route to deliver the vaccine.
Or from.
Oh, my gosh.
So they had 6 doses left. And I'm not kidding when I say they walked and knocked on car windows.
Of random strangers.
Of other people that were also snuck in the snow.
Because they would have gone bad, right?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Were any of those people sat living in their cars? I mean, was it?
No. They were all stuck in a snowstorm.
Oh, my God.
I can't imagine somebody walking up with a syringe.
Right.
And going, hey, sorry, this is going to go bad. Do you mind?
I did that back when I was dealing. I did that.
Right. You said free samples?
Yeah.
Free samples, here you go.
Same needle. And everybody was cool with it.
Here's the story with Don Lemon from CNN. Let's watch.
In the middle of the chaos of the COVID vaccine rollout and supply shortages, a vaccinating team in Oregon got stuck in a snowstorm on a highway on Tuesday. Their doses were about to expire. So they set up in an impromptu clinic, knocking on car windows and vaccinating stranded drivers with the remaining supply, not wasting a single dose. So let's bring in Leah Swanson, the Josephine County Emergency Preparedness Coordinator, and Michael Weber, the County Public Health Director. Good evening. I can only imagine. Hey, we want to give you an injection, a vaccine. Yeah, right. Get away from my car. But it was real. Good to see both of you. Thank you for coming on. Mike, so you and your team were driving back from a mass vaccination clinic when about 20 of you got stuck in the storm. You had 6 doses of the vaccine left that were set to expire. What happened? Did you get any of the response like I said? Like, oh, right, get away from my car, or no? Tell me what happened.
There was a couple of folks who waved us along, and I wouldn't say everybody was thrilled, but not many were actually like that. Most folks were skeptical at first, then they found it kind of funny, and they said, thanks, but no thanks.
So, yeah, they went and they knocked on car windows. Yeah. And I've been saying forever, because I got COVID twice, I would take the first vaccine that comes along from the first doctor that wants to give it to me.
Right.
I'm ready. I don't care about the vaccine. I don't care about dangerous and all that kind of stuff. Just whatever happens, give me a vaccine. I'm good. But I knock on the car window.
No way. I mean, I think if you live in Grants Pass, Oregon, you're maybe accustomed to a different lifestyle than I am. But I can tell you right now, if I'm on the 405 and a dude knocks on my window and he's like, let me inject you.
Yeah.
He's going to jail.
I know Bob would love that.
Well, that's
Bob
what I'm saying. Strangers. Yeah. I disagree with you guys totally. I think anybody that comes up to you with a needle, no matter how shady they look, you accept it into your body, into your arm. Now, I just wanted to disagree. I have no argument whatsoever.
I mean, that's my take on penis, but not needles.
Well, you want a needle?
You offer it up. I'm accepting it in my body.
You would allow a needle in your penis? I'm not clear.
Your penis is a needle? Allow penis to enter me, Bob.
That would be like looking for your penis in a haystack. It's crazy. It's crazy.
So just to clarify, none of us would accept this.
No way.
20 cars, 6 people said, yes, that's fine. Give me the vaccine.
I mean, there's a lot of people that don't want the vaccine, and I think they should get it. I do too, Bob,
but I don't know that I want someone knocking on my car window is all I'm saying.
If they crawled into the trunk and came out of in the car, just out of nowhere, then I would think it was the universe aligning.
Okay, and then you would go, yes, please?
Absolutely. You open the glove box and like Thing from the Addams Family comes out holding a needle. You take that.
I agree. So if you did that, you earned it. You earned the right. Kevin, we've oftentimes had so much fun with ridiculous names for sexual positions.
Yes.
The West Side Glaze, sure, a favorite of ours, the chocolate pizza.
I don't like the chocolate pizza. I'm just going to go on record right now.
I always thought it was fantastic. I've always wanted to coin my own, the Fuxedo. I told you about that.
I like that.
I was told this was PG-13 and I'm offended.
Sorry. Well, I'm getting there.
What is a chocolate pizza?
You don't want to know.
The chocolate.
Why would you ask that?
I'm sorry. It's nothing like the rusty trombone.
Can I show Bob a picture without it getting on the cameras for everybody else?
No. They could barely get the sound. Don't try.
Okay.
No.
Well,
that would take us another hour and a half, Bob.
I'm going to tell you about Dancing Chuck.
Okay.
Not a sex move, even though it sounds like one.
Dancing Chuck.
Dancing Chuck is something much, much better. Check it out. Right?
Could you see that video, Bob?
I could. And he's fantastic. Yeah. You know, he's 34 years old.
He's just done a lot of dancing. If I were in the neighborhood, I would have a boombox with that song on and I would constantly get him to come back
like
out
four in the morning. I'd be like, let's go.
Come on, Dancing Chuck.
Well, this is what quarantine has done to us. That's the most amusing part of our day.
Yes, literally. Agreed.
And he is known for his posture. That's sad, actually, because my grandfather
That's true.
Had that. He was actually born spine first.
All right, our next story is just as bizarre, maybe more.
Okay.
Two Nashville guys that have been friends forever.
Yes.
Here's the headline. Nashville friends find joy in weekly high five.
Come on.
Here's the video.
Weirdest thing. You see that? Clap, snap, high five. Then, often, they sit.
Pause, yes.
They leave their houses at the same time. They walk about a mile and a half. When they cross the street, they snap, clap, and high five.
And
that brings them endless joy.
And that obviously will also give them the coronavirus because they're not masked and they're touching each other. So they're really just taking their chances every day.
It's the quickest way to get corona from somebody else.
Right. Taking a walk is political.
is it just that there's something to look forward to and the sharing of the...
I would assume so, but they're not six.
No, they're grown-ass men.
So it seems odd that they would have their own little high-five move.
I have an answer to this, and I think it's everybody's living to have a viral moment.
Well, that could be.
And that's what that's what it is. They got a thing they're doing, which is amazingly weird.
I will say this. This is very Nashville.
Very Nashville.
In that I love the city of Nashville. I have long before it was ever cool. And I am always, like, honestly, a little bit shocked that you walk down the street and people, perfect strangers, are like, hey, how y'all?
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, hey, man. And
but this isn't a step further?
I'm just saying that there does seem to be like a real sense of community, and like that Southern charm is very strong in Nashville. So
that's true. That's true. I think also human contact is so needed right now that they literally, in addition to having a thing that can go viral and everybody, and it's, you know, the reason you have it is because they're looking at it, is they have a moment of connection.
I did want to get all the jokes out before the story turns.
Oh, it turns.
Yes, it turns.
Dude, does one of them die soon?
Your buddy. You're right. We should have been doing that this whole time.
Yeah.
And picking up the phone is great, but I've got a friend who literally will walk through the rain and the snow just to give me a high five. And I wish everybody could feel that feeling.
Andy and Gabe are musicians in Nashville. They met at a concert in 2000 and became friends. They got together on occasion, but not as often as they would have liked. So they invented this bit of silliness 7 years ago as a way of guaranteeing they see each other at least once a week.
So this is the high five journal.
Andy has a log of every encounter.
All right, hold up. Hold up. Dude keeps a journal.
He keeps a high five journal.
He keeps a high five journal.
There's hundreds of entries. I'm looking at
it's endless. It's endless.
It's beautiful. I mean, he's like a Herman Melville of walking.
All right, let's continue with the video.
He's a hipster Herman Melville.
Well, and robbed him of his past.
I pretty much forgot my life.
Your whole life?
Yeah.
And that's when his buddy Andy, now a virtual stranger, came to visit.
Said, well, Gabe, this is going to sound really weird, but I need you to do something for me. Give me a high five. And he was like, okay.
When the moment happened, my body just did what it's been doing for years. Clap, snap, high five.
That was in September. Since then, a lot of his memories have returned, but few more cherished than this silly tradition, which doesn't seem quite so silly anymore.
It's really special to have something, have a memory of something. To have something that's this consistent in my life, that means this much.
Andy even wrote a song about their ritual.
So take a walk with me on Monday morning.
It's a reminder that going out of your way for someone is still the straightest path to an everlasting friendship.
Knowing small things matter.
How bizarre is that? It's really that it no sort of spurred his memory.
That's amazing. Oh, that's remarkable. That's a really remarkable story, and I cannot believe that a story about high fiving.
Thank you very much.
Was that good? I mean, that was a really remarkable story, and I love seeing that. It's a weird thing because it's either exploitive or mishandled a lot. But when it's right, it's really touching to see straight guys like showing love for each other. You know, it's really special like that. You could tell how affected he was at a point where he probably thought maybe this is the end for me to have that guy do that to him. It meant the world to him. And, yeah. And I was also, he's good. They were good at singing. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yes, Bob.
Well, I just feel terrible because here I was thinking they were just doing this to go viral. And instead, he got a virus of sorts. And it's very emotional. And by the way, it doesn't state that they're not gay in it. I just wanted to be clear there.
I mean, they did have families with wives and kids.
Yeah, well,
I did
you know,
look
that's
at their children and wives. I did make visual contact with them.
It could be a beard.
Pictures.
Could be a beard. I mean, I think you're right, because it's not like they would walk past each other and just tap wieners and then move on. But it's really very, very amazing.
When the lockdown ends, Bob, I'll do anything to walk by somewhere like Malibu and just whack wieners with you.
Well, I've got Stamos already booked. So
damn it.
So but close.
He wins. If you have the chance to knock wieners with Stamos, you choose Stamos.
I guess.
I don't think Bob's in with either of you.
I am moved by that story and thrown. I made snarky comments and I feel bad about it.
I set you guys up by stopping the video so that we could make fun of them, knowing that it does turn and become beautiful.
All right, here's a story, Bob and Kevin, that right out of the gate, you know, there's no fun to be made.
Okay.
This is just straight out tearjerker beautiful. And it's an amazing story of life. Turns out when a baby is given birth to, also a friendship can be given birth to as well. Please look.
How the birth of a daughter became the birth of a friendship is our story from Steve Hartman.
For ICU nurse Caitlin Obrock, the last year has been a blur. She has treated hundreds of COVID patients here at Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis. But she says one patient stands above.
From the very beginning, Monique was special to me.
28-year-old Monique Jones came to the hospital deathly ill from COVID and 6 months pregnant.
The baby was priority over her. She would do anything for her baby.
Eventually, Monique had to be intubated, but Caitlin still talked to her, prayed over her countless hours. And when doctors decided the only hope for mother and child was an emergency C-section, Caitlin made a promise.
And I was like, if Monique makes it, we're going to throw her the biggest baby shower there is to have.
A promise she joyfully kept when Zamira arrived. All 2 pounds, 5 ounces of her.
I just started crying as soon as I saw everything. I'm like, this couldn't be for me.
Caitlin raised thousands of dollars from friends, family, and coworkers. And even though her favorite patients are now out of the hospital,
oh my God,
Caitlin still visits regularly.
Getting so big.
Has to. She's the godmother and Monique's new best friend.
I never really felt that special to somebody. I really needed somebody like her.
It's important, especially after such a god-awful week, to know that while all this was happening, so was this. While chaos reigned in Washington, compassion ruled in this corner of the heartland and across the country, because the soul of America can't be ransacked. And the solution to what ails us, sure as heck, isn't under a dome.
It's not a matter of politics, it's just a matter of loving people. That's what we need. The days that I feel like I can't go anymore, through those hard days when I don't think my patient's gonna make it, that I just know there's another Monique that needs us.
And there's your battle cry, America, for an uprising of kindness.
Boom. There's your battle cry, Bob and Kevin. Yeah. An uprising of kindness.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
That was sweet.
Kevin's going to cry. Yes, I got him.
Very sweet.
Yes, Bob, this is the first time I got Kevin to cry. Because I've cried like 3 times. This is the first time I got him.
No, that's really very sweet.
It was.
It's really emotional. And I don't know if I should say this here, but I'm the father of that child.
You are. Have you made contact with the birth mother?
Of course. Of course. I accept all responsibility. It's also impossible because I had a vasectomy. So I don't know how it happened. And also, I've never met her. So some people ask for an 8x10 in the mail, but I send all kinds of materials.
You're amazing that you never met her and yet you made her pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I have the refrigerated case that I got from my Pfizer vaccine and I keep a sample of my own seed and I mail that to people.
I wish you did that for real.
That would be... That would be on the news. That would be great news. That would be a great story for
you. That would be so fun.
I have to say that hit me on so many levels. One, obviously the story itself, just the kindness, the giving, the fact that these two adults then became close friends and she's the godmother of the child now. But also it made me think like 100-something years ago, that was like kind of the norm where mom goes, might not make it out of here, but make sure you save my baby.
Yeah. That's true.
Like, it's so crazy that's how birth used to be. I've given birth 12 times. I have four children. You know how it goes. It's 1860. That's
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
And the reporter, yeah. Ellen, she looks terrible. It's been a long year for Ellen.
It's been a long year for everyone. I mean, it's a, and that's Bob, a recent, that's a recent story. It's a recent story, right?
Yeah, no, that was like, I believe, two weeks ago. And,
yeah, because they put in all of the capital yeah. stuff. Storming right, the capital right. stuff.
I couldn't, I saw the clip, but I couldn't see it on my tiny screen, how intricate that was, if it was
yes.
that. Yeah. Very moving.
Bob, tell us about your podcast.
Well, it's Bob Saget's Here For You. And yes. I started it, I think in April of the 2020. And I wanted to do it, in 2019, I was figuring out who to do it with, and I do it with Studio 71. And I just wanted to do it because I was out touring and feeling the temperature of the country, not in person, you know, not with a rectal thermometer. I was just, I could tell from the audiences and from the people I met how to split people were, and how some people were angry in the audience. And my job is to have fun and make them and give them fun and have a sense of unity in the room. And I accomplished that, but it didn't stop me from realizing something was wrong, especially in places that had a lot of racial anger and stuff. So I just thought of doing something healing, kind of what you're doing here. I mean, good news is not all the stuff we watch all day long. And so I started the podcast and had a lot of course, Stamos was my first guest, and I've had some wonderful people, Tiffany Haddish and Whoopi Goldberg and Jake Tapper and Norman Lear. And I had David Portnoy. I just had John Lovitz on, can't have everything. And I had, you know, people that I love, Bill Burr, Mark Maron, Regina Hall. It's really just what you've all both always
can
done.
Could I list our guests?
Please.
Bob Saget.
Well, you've got to keep me in the annals of your vault of tape, not of tape, of hard drive material. That's what I am now. I'm particles. You're going to have everybody. You'll have everybody. You've got so many loyal friends for all your years of broadcasting. So this is I'm honored to be here with you guys.
Well, Bob, we appreciate it because behind the scenes, it did take us about 4 hours to get things working.
This is the longest Zoom of my life.
Wait, real quick though, before we let you go, and Kevin's right. I mean, it was really nice of you to sit through all the technical difficulties we had and then to come and hang out with us and be our first guest. Dirty Daddy, I'm yeah. looking at, is the book that we can expect very soon, available for pre-order as we speak?
No, you're Googling something from years ago, but it was a New York Times bestseller, and I'm proud of it. It's not a, it's a little bit memoir, a little bit stream of consciousness. When I did my first book talk for it years ago, I was at the 92nd Street Y with John Oliver, and he interviewed me, and he, this is how old the book is. It was right before he was about to start Last Week Tonight. So it was, wow. He was literally writing the first episode when he was interviewing me about the book. And
do you take full responsibility for his success?
Completely.
Clearly. Yeah.
No, he's great. You know, I just adore him.
My man, Kevin, writing a book right now, Bob.
I am. I'm writing a book.
What is it, Kevin?
It's about my time at the radio station.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm writing a book.
Sell it as a movie too. Do it like the movie FM back in the day, with Joe Mantegna and
great reference.
And
I mean, I thought I'd make it central to my story, but
no, I mean, do it. Make a movie. I'm saying make it.
Oh, I see. Make a movie like Private Parts. Like Stern did a movie based on
it.
And then Don Cheadle will be you.
Sure.
And then you can have, you know,
I'm down.
Ken Jeong as Bean.
That's important to change it up from your own personal reality.
Correct,
but
yes.
It's hard to write a book. Are you disciplined? Do you do the 4 hours a day writing?
It takes a super amount of discipline, and I'm not great at it. I'm about 90% done. About a month ago, I was about 90% done. So
I'm sure it's got a lot of seriousness in it and comedy as well.
It's got both, yeah.
That's what my book was. It was Dirty Daddy.
Because we started in 1990, so there's a lot of stuff that maybe people who listened to us last year or whatever don't know anything about. So it's all behind the scenes of that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, I can't.
And you're
wait.
In it.
I can't wait to read it. Do you talk about the K-Rock April Foolishness where Brad Williams and Stamos, is that in there?
It isn't yet, but it will be. You know, what was funny is Larry King was there that night.
That's right.
And I offered Brad Williams $500 to go hump his leg.
Well, I have a story about that also, because Larry King opened that up at the Gibson Amphitheater. He was the first comedian. Everybody went, what is he doing? Because he doesn't do stand-up. But Larry wanted to do it. And I remember him telling me to have kids again. And I went, I don't know. You know, I'm going to be 60, or I don't know. How many years ago was that? 8 years ago?
Maybe, I don't know.
I don't think it was 10 years ago. I think it was a little less, I think. I could be wrong. But Larry was saying, you got to have kids. You got to have more kids. And as he's telling me that, he had a nosebleed. So literally, Stamos and I are standing there, and blood is pouring out of his nose. And I said, but I'm worried about getting older. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. And blood, it was like a Monty Python sketch. Blood is just pouring out of his nose. My boys are at the show tonight. I'm like, oh, my God.
Can they stop your nosebleed?
He tried to tell me it was the altitude at the Gibson Amphitheater.
Which is practically sea level. Yeah. Who knew that Larry King was like an NBA player from the 90s? It's like, you got to have more kids. Sounds like a good idea.
Well, he loved it. And I think his kids really did enrich his life tremendously. And he is a huge loss. He was a very special guy. And he was always so kind to me. I had a dinner with him, not, you know, I mean, 2 years ago. And then he started to decline and couldn't do much. He would go to Craig's still. And then he was in a wheelchair. But he kept doing his show, you know. God bless him. So
I feel like we're ending on a low note now.
Yeah, let's add that on a high note.
Yeah, we're all high and cheery.
Well, they should have seen us at the tech rehearsal for this.
First day and a half of tech rehearsals.
Actually, the beginning of the tech rehearsal for this episode started when they started quarantine. That's how long it's been.
That's correct.
Thank you, Bob. You're the man, dude.
Bob, we appreciate you coming on the show. You're the best.
Well, I love you. I love you. I love you both. And I like being called the man, because sometimes that didn't happen in prison.
All right, Mike, you got an outro for us?
I do.
Outro! You know what I'm talking about, bro! Yeah, say hello to the happy, goodbye to the blues, because Bob and Kevin and Mike just gave you great news! Rock your dome. Yeah, check it out now. Good God, y'all. Kevin and Mike are here to give you great news.
Nice.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.